At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday. It's hour one. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. And the retirement tour officially begins. Oh, I got phone calls yesterday. I got text messages. My wife said, "Are you retiring?" I go, "In 4.5 years." She goes, "Well, why would you announce it?" I said, "I was announcing a contract extension. I signed a new contract with iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and Peacock." That's not breaking news.
Oh, that's funny. Did you say that yesterday?
I signed a new contract.
Oh, that's funny. I don't remember that part of the story at all.
Yeah, you just heard the retirement part of it. Yeah. But I signed a new contract, so it was a contract extension and therein a retirement tour. Yes, Seton. Or, yeah, Paul.
But the way you delivered it yesterday, like Seton said, was much more like, I'm announcing that this show and your career is going to end, as a radio host at least, in 4.5 years. You could have turned it in a positive direction, like, guys, 4.5 more years. Let's go. Let's go. Hmm. And people would have covered it completely differently.
But then you would have asked, knowing you, well, what happens in 4.5 years?
I think Fritzy would have asked.
Yes. Oh, Fritzy constantly asking how long I'm going to do this.
You seemed quite specific yesterday to go along with what Seton was saying. Yes. I think Christmas Eve 2027. That'll be the last show.
This is the last contract I'm going to sign. And therefore, the retirement tour officially starts.
I'm very happy with how definitive you're being.
Yeah.
Very happy.
Yeah. That's it.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
It finally gives us all the ability to plan our lives.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Because this isn't going to be you didn't tell me. Hey, are you retiring for good?
I feel like I have 4 years.
You do.
To make something of myself now.
but I don't want you to go all McLovin, because McLovin all of a sudden didn't want to be McLovin. He wanted to be Andrew Perloff.
I want to be Seton.
Yes, I don't want you to clean up your act.
Yeah,
don't
have to worry about that. I probably won't be able to clean up my act. I'm just going to have to figure out, you know, like a real adult life, career.
You've been given a heads up to make something of your life over the next 4.5 years.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. Yes, Marvin.
Wait, so I got to come up with like a resume?
Yeah.
Go to a job interview? So, yeah. Marvin, what did you do as a Danette?
Danette? A Danette.
Yeah.
What was that, a Danette?
What? Yes, Todd.
But even if we all update our resumes now, what jobs can you apply to 4.5 years out? They don't even, how do you,
If you get a job over the next 4.5 years and you want to take it, you can.
Wow.
Someone says, we would love to hire you starting January of 2028. Come on in, let's chat.
Yes, Seton.
Do you think that in 4.5 years, this fivesome is intact? On December 24th, 2027? Do you think that
Are we all together?
Yeah.
No.
Wow. That's a bold statement.
Well, it's a long time. We've been together a long time.
It is a long time.
Yeah. I hope we stay together, but I got to be fair to the surroundings, understand everybody's lives, where they want to be, what they want to do. You got families, wives, kids. I get that. Yeah.
Just, someone else could retire before you.
Ooh.
I mean, no one else has announced their retirement, but someone else on the crew could announce their retirement. And
well, I feel like that's either you, Paul, or Todd, because I haven't planned 1 ounce for my future.
I was going to say, that's very understanding of you, but if you had to pick one, who do you think is the one that, of the four that you don't see here Christmas Eve 2027?
Probably Paulie. He's got other things, so I can understand that. Not you. I think you would be here for the long haul. I think Seton would, and I think Marv would as well. But I'm optimistic that everybody stays together. I love that the one quote that kind of was pulled yesterday.
Here we go.
I want to make sure as a
sure you do.
Journalist, I get this right. Let's see, 2027. That's when the microphone gets turned off for the final time. I'm going to take my hairpiece and I'm going to give it to Fritzy.
Everything that was said yesterday about me being bald and you giving me your hairpiece, that had to get
that
into
one is. I've seen that on social media or on news articles all over the place.
I know. I love that.
Lester
one.
Holt, I think, finished up his broadcast with, and he's giving his hair to Fritzy.
Yeah. And a final note here on the nightly news.
I'm worried, though, that people who maybe are casual sports fans or sports media fans think that you have a hairpiece. So we would like to issue a correction, a clarification.
You don't need to.
I know. I just want to be careful.
You don't just have a hairpiece.
Yeah.
You have the best one in the
Thank
business.
Thank you. Thank you.
Part of my job is to protect the hair. It's in my contract.
Oh, there's some people I've worked with who have pretty good hairpieces.
Whoa.
Why do you got to open up that can?
That's a final show.
Yes, Marvin.
The last show is going to be phenomenal.
No guest last show.
You won't have any, trust me.
At what point in the next 4 years do guests start saying goodbye? Do we have a big party at the end of this? Do we have like a banquet?
No,
do we rent out a Knights of Columbus? And
well, it's going to be Christmas Eve Knights when we say goodbye. Yeah. I don't know why.
That's
like
all
a
the
VFW.
Yeah, dude, all of the fancy things were growing up. It's like, oh, wow, it's a party at the Knights of the KFC.
Cabbage roll.
Whoa, dude, it's at the VFW. Oh, they're really going big.
A nice Chinese restaurant. That's the only thing that's going to be open Christmas Eve. So we should start booking that in advance.
That's like a Christmas Story where they have their meal.
Dude, your Christmas party that year is going to be off the hook.
Yep. Yeah. But we got a lot of time here to prepare. And I did have a couple of people saying, what are you retiring from? And I said, domination. You know, I think it's time to step down and let somebody younger get in the chair.
You know, that is a pet peeve of, I think, all of ours. I would love, just feel free, anyone who says that, come do 15 hours of live radio a week.
Yeah, there are actually a couple people in the business who sent those texts yesterday.
Feel free.
What are you retiring from? A job that you can't do as well as I do.
But you don't need to say as well as I do. A job, I've been working here a long time, and I've seen some people step into a three-hour chair, and they burn all their stories in the first segment, and they're just...
They're panic.
They look like they're war criminals. You know, they're just like, what do we do? What do I do?
So the contract extension, maybe I left that out yesterday, and just letting you know that it's a contract extension. So it's good news, but then also I'm going to retire at the end of that contract extension. Yes, Marv.
You failed to mention our world tour.
Yeah, buddy, bucket list.
Okay, well, I'm leaving that up to Seton. Seton is going to be he's Captain Stubing.
Heck yeah.
He's going to pilot the love boat here as we have certain things. And people did reach out, very, very generous, saying, you got to do this before you retire with the show.
He took copious notes yesterday, Seton. He was writing down like 20 different places that we could all go to. He's all over it.
Yeah, Seton.
What are the things that they said? You have to share that
just
with me.
I will, but I don't want to do it publicly.
Okay.
I'll do it privately and let you know. Some people reached out and very generous offers that if we wanted to go certain places at certain times and do certain things.
Oh, heck yeah, dude.
And if you guys are willing to go skydiving, then who would go skydiving?
I think I would. Well, I got
Hollywood.
I got to ask my family. I got it. Yeah, they get in the way of everything.
Okay.
As soon as I found out that I was having a child, there were a bunch of things that I immediately checked off as like, well, I guess I'm never doing that. And skydiving was one of them.
Okay. We were invited to go skydiving.
By the person who wants to replace you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Nick Wright said, I'm going to pay for you skydiving.
You guys should go running with the Bulls.
Yeah. Oh,
you guys should go running with the Bulls.
I know. We did get an invitation to run with the Bulls.
That should be high on the list of things to go do.
Well, okay. When do we run with the Bulls? Because I'm assuming I'm going to lose Fritzy. Because you only have to be faster than the slowest guy in the group.
I don't think I'll get like six steps before I get trampled in a horn in my roof.
Why don't we cover the running of the Bulls and do our show from a nice balcony?
But don't you want to run with the Bulls?
I'm usually team Bull, got to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're rooting for, I am too.
I actually hate running of the Bulls, but I would go. But I do, I am very much team Bull and enjoy the carnage.
Yeah, I do root for the Bull.
Got to admit.
And then bullfighting, I root for the Bull as well.
It never works out for the Bull, but...
Yeah. No matter how well he doesn't do well at the very
end. You're anti-Matador? I didn't know that till today.
No, I'm pro-Bull, not anti-Matador. Right. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. We say good morning if you're watching on Peacock, our streaming partner, and our radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. Operator Tyler sitting by taking your phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. Yes, Paul.
Someone just emailed me. What if Fox Sports Radio and Peacock try to franchise tag you at the end of 4.5 years?
Well, I might sit out. I might have to do a Saquon Barkley. Here's Saquon Barkley on the Money Matters podcast on his situation with the Giants.
I have no worry about going on a football field and knowing that I'm not playing for my worth or saying if I have to play under, because this is my leverage. My leverage is I can say F you to the Giants, I can say F you to my teammates and be like, you want me to show you my worth? You want to show you how valuable I am to the team? I won't show up. Right. I won't play it down. That's a play I can use. Anybody knows me knows that's not something I want to do. But like it's something that crossed my mind. It's like I never thought I would ever do that, but like now I'm in a point where it's like Jesus, like I might have to take it to this level. And like, am I willing? Am I prepared to take it to the level? I don't know.
Okay, I don't see him holding out. You're going to lose money if you hold out, because what are the Giants going to do? What if the Giants did this? Let's say Saquon Barkley wants to hold out. And the Giants go, okay, we're going to bring in Dalvin Cook. And we're going to pay Dalvin Cook $7 million a year. 3-year deal. Throw out the numbers, whatever they are, because if I look at the numbers for Dalvin Cook, what he's done over, I think, 6 years? He has rushed for 5,600 yards, 211 catches. He's missed 12 games due to injury. Saquon, in 5 years, 4,200 yards, 247 catches, and he's missed 20 games due to injury. Do I want Saquon over Dalvin Cook? I do. But you're going to force the Giants then to do something. And then you're going to lose money with every game that you hold out. And the Giants are going to franchise tag you probably next year. I understand this. Everybody has got this crusade with running backs. There's nothing you could do. The running backs have to look at the Players Association and go, did anybody think that we were going to be held in a vacuum here with our salaries and we're in line with punters? No, but you collectively bargained this. This is the Players Association, and this is the situation. You have to evolve. I look at remember the tight end position was basically you blocked, and occasionally you'd catch a pass or two. The position evolved. The running back position has to evolve to maybe allow you to be compensated for the wear and tear on your body. But you sign up for this. This is the one of the glamour positions. You get to carry the ball, touch the ball more than anybody except for the quarterback. Saquon Barkley, endorsement deals. You're playing in New York. I mean, cash in on those things. But you're going to get franchised next year. If you're good this year, you'll get franchised next year. I mean, that's just business. And we would have thought that Saquon Barkley was going to be the running back who would then change the market. But it didn't happen. Like McCaffrey got paid. Alvin Kamara got paid. If you look, now you want somebody who could be really upset? Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry might be the most underpaid athlete in all of sports. He has made $42 million in his career. Chase Daniel, backup quarterback, hasn't played in a meaningful game in his career, has made $42 million. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Derrick Henry is the Titans. He's been the Titans. He propped Ryan Tannehill's career back up. When you think of one guy and what he means to a team, other than Patrick Mahomes, you know, when Derrick Henry was being Derrick Henry running for 1,800 yards, there was nobody more important to their team because they played defense, they ran the ball, and then Ryan Tannehill would complete a couple of passes. That was their game plan. It might still be their game plan. But Derrick Henry got underpaid. And you would have thought he would have been literally the battering ram who was going to open up the, you know, the paychecks here for running backs. And it didn't happen. He didn't threaten to hold out. I don't think it helps Saquon Barkley to hold out or Josh Jacobs. You would like to see them compensated, but I mean, Let's say catchers in Major League Baseball, if we looked at them and they go, man, they're underpaid and look at the beating they take. Well, nobody's going to take up the crusade and go, catchers need to be paid. Well, they take a beating. You know, shortstops are making more. Yeah, okay. But we're doing that with the running back position because of nostalgia. Oh, Jim Brown. Oh, you got Eric Dickerson. O.J. Simpson. You know, Barry Sanders. Emmitt Smith. Yes. They were all glamour running backs. It was the marquee position. What about linebackers? Oh, Dick Butkus. You got Ray Nitschke. You got Ray Lewis. Mike Singletary. What about now? Nobody's, you know, on a crusade for middle linebackers. They had to evolve. So Micah Parsons is not a middle linebacker. Now he's a linebacking edge rusher. Yes, he...
Ryan Tannehill career salary?
Ooh, boy.
Especially if you're just putting it in context
might as well,
of Derrick Henry.
Might as well. 142.
Oh, buddy, that he would scoff at that.
That's in the sofa cushion.
In the year 2020, he made almost. He was just shy of Derrick Henry's.
Oh, God, that's got to be
career
crushing.
Total.
You imagine
Ryan
every
Tannehill.
Time he hands the ball to you, you're going,
cha-ching, yeah. Cha-ching. $169 million.
Okay. All right. Yes, Paulie.
Yeah, you mentioned the linebacker position. It is so devalued lately. Remember Roquan Smith, the great linebacker in Chicago? All he did was play well for the Bears his first 4 years. All he did was make Pro Bowls. I think he was an all-pro his last year. That means he did exactly what he was drafted to do. And they said, nah, we're not paying that. We'll send him over to Baltimore. We got good years out of him. Can't do it at that position.
This hour brought to you by Discover Credit Cards. They do something awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. Cash back from trips and restaurants. See terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. We'll get to phone calls. We'll settle on our poll question here as the retirement tour officially is underway. How long before we get tired of that? Maybe you're already tired of that. And I do apologize that if it sounded like I was making more of the retirement than I was. The contract extension is really what that was all about.
Patrick retracts retirement statement?
No, I'm still retiring.
Hairdo back for more?
Yeah.
The way that you've done the story now is yesterday you were retiring, today you resigned.
Yes.
That's essentially the way that you just did this.
Yeah.
Was that a ploy? Is that a tactic yesterday to get a new contract in retirement? You essentially said you were going to hold out, and then management caved.
How about we take a break here? Come back on the Dan Patrick Show right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Bill Shaken, LA Times national baseball columnist, joining us and trying to look at the Shohei Ohtani situation with a variety of angles. We got 2 weeks to go for the trade deadline. Let me look at the business side of this, Bill. Can the Angels afford to not re-sign Shohei Ohtani?
I think the Angels would be delighted to re-sign Shohei Ohtani. The question is whether Shohei Ohtani would be delighted to re-sign with the Angels. And I know there's a concern, oh, will the Angels offer him a deal? You can say a lot of things about Artie Moreno, the Angels owner, but you can't say that he doesn't spend the money. In fact, the guy with the largest contract in Major League Baseball right now is Mike Trout, who was given that contract by Artie Moreno. So I have no doubt Artie Moreno will make him a good offer. I think the question is, does Shohei want to stay? And no one really knows the answer to that right now.
But can the Angels afford to let Ohtani go to free agency?
As opposed to a trade, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of what has been lost in all the trade discussions is the way Artie Moreno operates his team. And again, you can say what you want about him because the Angels haven't won with Trout and Ohtani. That's certainly, you know, look, scoreboard, bottom line. But ultimately, Artie Moreno isn't an owner that says, you know what, we're going to rebuild for a few years, come back and see us in 5 years. I'm going to make a lot of profits in the meantime. He puts money into the team. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. But the idea that Artie Moreno is going to blow up the Angels is just not going to happen. So if you're in a situation like you're in with Ohtani, you're not looking for somebody's five best prospects who are all in single A and double A. That's not going to work because Mike Trout's still here. So you're going to want guys that can help the major league team next year. Maybe not all of them, but most of them. And if you're on the other side of that equation and you're a contending team that you want Ohtani to put you over the top this year, the guys you would trade to the Angels, you're going to need maybe not all of them, but certainly some of them. And I think that really complicates any trade.
So you think when all said and done, Ohtani goes to free agency, but Can somebody outspend Artie Moreno in this situation? Or will somebody outspend Artie Moreno?
Well, I'm sure somebody can. Artie Moreno is a single gentleman. The Dodgers, for example, were bought with money from insurance funds. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a competitive market. The Giants are, for example, if you go to a Giants game, remember, they've spent the last few years trying to buy a superstar. They tried Bryce Harper, didn't work. They tried Aaron Judge, it didn't work. They tried Carlos Correa. Their doctor saved them from that. So they've got the money. And if you go to a Giants game and you look behind right field, there's a whole urban village going up there. That's money that's all going in the Giants' pockets. They can outbid anybody. Certainly the Yankees can outbid anybody. Stevie Cohen by himself can outbid anybody. There'll be plenty of competition, but I don't think it's going to be a situation of Artie Moreno runs away from it.
How do you monetize Ohtani?
If you're the Angels and you have him through his first 3 years when he can't even get to arbitration and then his arbitration years, it's really easy. He's made the Angels a ton of money. If you ever watch an Angel game on TV, the billboards behind home plate, behind the batter, they're all in Japanese. The outfield signs are in Japanese. Many of the stadium giveaways, the T-shirts and the pillows and the hats feature Ohtani. Japanese companies sponsor those. That has added up in the past to about $10 or $15 million a year. So if Shohei's making $1 million, you're doing great. If Shohei's making $50 or $60 million a year, that's not going to do it. I mean, you will sell more tickets, and certainly you will be able to sell some merchandise. But, you know, most merchandise, if it's not sold outside the stadium, that's shared revenue among teams. International broadcast revenue is shared revenue.
Okay.
So if you're signing Shohei Ohtani, you're doing it because he's going to make your team better. But the idea that he's going to pay for himself is not going to happen.
Bill Shaken, the LA Times national baseball columnist, joining us. The A's, is there any chance that they stay in Oakland?
I would say there's a very small chance. It's a little bit better chance than the A's making the playoffs this year, but not that much better. Basically, baseball was kind of tired of waiting, and who's ever at fault in the situation, the A's, their various owners, various governments, not only in Oakland, because the A's have tried to move around the Bay Area, mostly the Giants from blocking the A's from moving to San Jose, which was the obvious answer. The problem now is that the A's went to Vegas. They got close to $400 million in public funding. The bill's already signed into law. There was more accomplished in Vegas in, you know, 2 weeks by Major League Baseball's accounting than there was in 20 years of looking for a stadium in Oakland. Now, what's happened in Las Vegas is that some people, as you can imagine, are very upset about this. Why are we giving money to an out-of-state billionaire is a powerful campaign pitch, right? So the teachers union in the state of Nevada would like to take that campaign pitch and put it on a ballot. Whether they can get to that point or not, we don't know. It's very expensive to get something onto a ballot because you need to collect a lot of signatures. It would, of course, be even more expensive for the campaign. And there are a lot of unions lining up in favor of this project. Certainly the construction unions that would build the stadium. The most powerful union in Las Vegas is the one that represents the folks that would work at the stadium, because as everyone knows, there's kind of a large hospitality industry in Las Vegas. They run the town. So unless something happens either in a court, if that $380 million in public funding is challenged and somehow thrown out, or unless there's a thing on the ballot, I think it's a done deal, and I think it's a very small chance that it doesn't get to that point. I think the A's are gone.
I know we focus on Ohtani, and rightfully so, with the trade deadline. Can you see any other big names possibly moved?
You certainly can. I mean, it's not, you know, any great surprise this time of year. You look at the teams that maybe are not doing so well and try to figure out who their best players are. So, for example, you know, Marcus Stroman from the Cubs is having a great year. Cody Bellinger from the Cubs is having a pretty good year. Those are named players that people have heard of and have done pretty well. You know, maybe guys that you haven't heard of as much, you know, a Dylan Cease with the White Sox, for example, or Dylan Carlson with the Cardinals. Again, these are teams that, you know, are not doing so well. And, you know, from an LA point of view, There are high school teammates both on the market. Lucas Giolito from the White Sox, Jack Flaherty from the Cardinals played high school ball together, and they could both be on the move. And certainly their hometown teams, both of them are looking for starting pitching.
Rob Manfred looks like he's going to be voted for re-election. I'm guessing based off this year, is baseball having a great year?
Yeah. You know, everybody said, oh, baseball's dead, right? We've heard that for how many years? And yet in the first full year after the pandemic last year, coming off a lockout that was imposed by the owners made more revenue last year than they ever had. It's going to be more this year. Attendance is up. Bud Selig once said when he was commissioner, my job is to get the owners' asset values to rise. And Rob hasn't put it quite that plainly, but the owners are his bosses. The owners are happy. The owners don't mind when Rob Manfred takes a hit or two because it saves them from doing it. I think everything's fine. I don't think he'll have any issue winning re-election.
Bill, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Take care.
Bill Shaken, LA Times national baseball columnist. It sounds like Shohei Ohtani, you go to free agency, but is somebody going to, well, there's always one. Somebody gets squirrely. You got 12 days there, but there really hasn't been much that's leaked out. You know, what's the one thing that we heard, and it really wasn't something tangible, you know, John Morosi of the Baseball Network said that, you know, the Angels are in the listening mode. I don't know what that means. Like, I'll listen. Is anybody talking? Is anybody shopping? Are they shopping? Because this isn't a deal that you can go, oh, we're gonna trade him, and that happens in 24 hours. This, to me, feels like it's something sustainable that you're going to take weeks to explore. And he does bring up a great point. The Angels are in a win-now mode. They're not winning, but they're in a win-now. You can't have Mike Trout and go, you know what? We're going to wait a couple of years down the road. But it feels like Ohtani, that he would stay with Anaheim. He would stay with the Angels. But his agent probably wants to take him to market. Let's get the most, and hopefully the most is with the Angels. Or maybe you don't take the most, but, you know, you raise the price from the Angels, and you get more. But you're probably looking, you know, 10 years. I mean, that seems to be the norm now. 10, 11, 12 years. What is he, 29? You know, the odds of lasting as a pitcher over that period of time? I don't like those odds at all. Even 5 years. Like, could you give him 5 for $300 million? Would he take 5 for $300 million? Now, his agent wouldn't, because they want to lock you up. They want longer deals here. But if I'm the Angels, I get 5 years at that price, okay. Tough to swallow, but I don't want to be locked in for 10 years. Yeah, Paul.
Dan, your Angels just won three in a row after the All-Star break.
Okay.
They are 4 games out of the wild card. And the guys in the wild card leading teams, Blue Jays just lost two in a row. Rays lost 4 in a row. Astros are there. Red Sox lost 2 in a row. Yankees lost 4 in a row. Those are the teams ahead of them in the wild card.
I was wondering about this with the Yankees. They're in last place. There is no way, if George Steinbrenner was still alive running the Yankees, that Aaron Boone would be his manager. And maybe Brian Cashman wouldn't be his GM. Because heads got a roll. Like, this would be unheard of with George Steinbrenner. He'd probably have had 2 managers at this point. He had fired Aaron Boone and brought in somebody and maybe fired that guy. But, you know, I'm watching the body language with the Angels. And they're laughing. And then one of their pitchers is blowing kisses to the Yankee fans who showed up. Like, you're going, man, oh, man, this isn't good. And can you imagine you have built a roster that's really based off Aaron Judge? It feels like their success is predicated on him being in the lineup. And you look at that roster. It's not a great roster. But Aaron Judge may be coming back here in a week or so. Yes, Paulie?
The Yankees haven't appeared in a World Series in 14 years. Yeah. Which, if you would have bet on that, you would have bet completely the opposite way. They had a stretch like that. I think it was 16 years. They won the World Series in 78. And they lost the World Series in 81. Then they had a 14-year stretch where they didn't appear in a World Series until 96.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
But if you had a wedding reception, this comes on, and then you get like the aunt or the grandmother that gives you the finger to come on up here. Come on up here. And then she's really playful, and you're like, go ahead. Go up there. And you're like, try to dance in the middle of everybody so then you could kind of hide. If you're on the edges, then the people outside who are watching and judging, they're like, he's got no rhythm. Oh, he's got the white guy overbite. Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, Marv.
My wedding, there was nothing better because it was an interracial wedding in two Americas. You see, this could have been two different dance floors. Oh, it's amazing. My mother-in-law could dance, right? So she was out there, and there were just like certain family members like, all right, we see who's out here. Told you when Ohio Players Fire came on, my grandmother loves Jesus. She's a big Christian. She came out, oh, this is my jam. I said, that's right, Grandma. She got out there, and then I just saw, like, my wife's family just kind of on the outskirts. Just, you know, a couple of hand claps.
Okay.
I was like, oh, amazing.
Two different DJs? Like a white DJ, black DJ there?
It could have been a wedding band and then a DJ.
Yeah, see.
Do the people who get up and dance, or at least try get credit, or is it better to be a sitter, Marvin, in that situation?
No, no, you know what? I respect it because not everybody's a dancer per se. So if you just get out there, I'm good with it. Mm. Now, if you're like in the middle of like a circle and you try to get out there, then judgment, you know.
Oh, I did that one time, but I was at a bar in Indianapolis, NBA Finals, Pacers, Lakers, and we went to a bar called The Cozy. And it was a producer of mine and a reporter, Shelley Smith, and me, and it was a black bar. And we went in, and they did the lineup, or whatever that line is.
Oh, Soul Train line?
Yes. So,
roll call?
Yeah. So they did the Soul Train line, and you know, you had some guys there, and everybody's, you know, dancing down, and then Charlie Moynihan goes, "Do you want to do it?" I go, "Hell yeah." And I rode the pony. I rode the pony down the line. The Cozy in Indianapolis. Yes, Pauline.
People talked about this before, but the very toughest part about dancing at a wedding is breaking the echelon from walking to the dance floor to your first move of dancing. Because it's like you're trying to dunk a basketball in the rain for me. I'm like, I'm about to dance here. What's my first move?
Yeah.
Once I get going, I could serviceably get on and off the floor without being made fun of.
Well, do you start dancing when you get up from the table?
You should.
You're like, yeah, okay, I'm feeling it. All right. The single ladies.
But lots of us walk to the dance floor, and then it's like you're putting your foot onto a boat, and you're like, oh, it's going to be a little wobbly here.
Yeah, am I going to slip on this?
Let me grab a handle.
Yes, Tom.
It's not your responsibility, but the people that throw the party and the ones that we were celebrating, they kind of hope that you'll make an effort to go out there a little bit, because there's nothing more lame. If everyone decided to be shy and worrying about being judged, and there's an empty dance floor, and the band are saying, come on out, everyone, and no one's doing anything, it's really bad luck.
Yes.
Go out for a few minutes or something.
Yes.
The worst day of a non-dancing father's life is when their kid gets too big to hold, so you can't do the hold your kid. I'm dancing, but I'm just holding my kid. Yeah. Look, I'm up. Yeah.
Well, no, you can bring your daughters out there, and you can hold their hands and dance with them. I did that. You know, and then they got into their 20s. Like, Dad, can we dance on our own? No, no. Come on. Let's dance. Yeah, Marv.
Then you guys would have been SOL because there were no kids at my wedding.
Oh. Not allowed.
Oh, no, no kids. Not for what? You got to watch kids.
Was it on the invitation?
Did it say no kids?
Oh, yeah, we made it clear. Okay. No kids.
Okay. $50 a plate for some chicken fingers?
Right.
No way. Yeah. Some pasta with butter sauce?
Oh, no, I know. I'm not yes, that. Todd.
Mr. Mike Tannenbaum has just checked in.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, the former Jets and Dolphins executive. You can find him on the Mothership, Get Up, NFL Live, Sports Center, and Mike T joining us. All right. I'm going to make you the agent for Saquon Barkley. What would you do or have done that could have changed this outcome for him to get paid?
Great to be with you, Dan. I make them realize that I'm 40% of your offense. And Daniel Jones, who you just overpaid at $42 million a year, completed 74% of his passes on 77 targets. And you have no chance to win without me. And while you have leverage by not giving me what I want, I have leverage because I may not miss a $555,000 weekly paycheck, Dan, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be playing week one against the Cowboys.
All right. Now I'm going to make you the Giants GM. What do you say as a return volley?
Say, hey, look, you know, we extended here. We could franchise you. As much as you're disappointed being franchised in 2023, guess what? We could do it again next year. So that's $22 million, and that takes you through 7 years of your career. So we love you. We appreciate you. But, you know, you play a position that there's a lot of replaceable parts. And the one other interesting thing to me, though, is, Dan, he's a much improved pass protector. He's their best player overall, and he's a great locker room guy. So if I'm the Giants, I'm telling him, like, I want to reward you for that and try to stretch to give him the benefit of the doubt.
How did we get here?
That is a great question. You know, you go back a handful of years, you know, Dan, we're talking about Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, Todd Gurley, great players that got paid $14, $15, $16 million. And I think what's happened over time is, you know, Kansas City is a great example. They draft Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round, and then Isaiah Pacheco, a seventh rounder from Rutgers, beats him out. And I think what teams are saying is, we have to pay so much money to the A players that here's a position, there's just more supply than demand.
Yeah, I know that we've taken up this crusade to get running backs paid, but I don't think it's fixable. It's like middle linebackers. The game evolved, and then you had to evolve. There's no Mike Singletary or Ray Lewis or Brian Urlacher anymore. You don't need them anymore. The tight end learned to be a wide receiver as well as, you know, a good blocker.
Dan, you just nailed it. Like, to me, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, and that's where I think the Giants are wrong. Saquon is dynamic in the passing game. When you talk to opposing defensive coordinators, job number one when they play the Giants is Saquon in space, not between the tackles. And that's why I can see why Josh Jacobs didn't get paid, although I think he's been very productive. But Saquon as a quote-unquote offensive player deserved to get paid. And that's why I think this running back conversation, we're sort of like sometimes missing the context.
Yeah, I don't know. If you hold out, then you lose money. And so Saquon he alluded to this on a podcast today, but I don't know if holding out, we've seen the Le'Veon Bell thing where the Jets bailed out the Steelers, but I just don't know if holding out matters. Or you're going to miss the first game against the Cowboys. Okay, you're missing out on $500,000, and what are you going to prove? Yes, we missed you, but we're not giving you a contract extension.
So, Dan, what's going on in the league now is this whole idea of a hold-in. The way the system works now, you really can't hold out. The fines aren't forgiven. But he could show up on week one and said, hey, remember you had leverage back on July 16th? Well, guess what? I'm showing up. I'm getting paid $555,000. And guess what? My back's a little bit tight. Yeah. Check with me next week. So, to me, like, and I'm not saying he's going to do that because he's a great person, and I don't know where his head will be heading into week one a month from now. But he certainly has some levers he could pull. And if I'm the Giants GM, that's keeping me up at night because my quarterback is average. He is just a player that played well last year, but he only had 15 touchdown passes. So for us to get to where we want to go, we need Saquon Barkley.
Why didn't they franchise Danny Dimes and give Saquon Barkley if he's that important, give him a 4-year deal or something like that?
Yeah, they certainly could have done it. I just think finding a quarterback, the replacement, and I think the challenge for the Giants specifically, Dan, is they're going to win enough games where they're not going to be talking about Drake May or Caleb Williams. So now they're saying, like, the juxtaposition of, like, a B in Daniel Jones, who are we going to get that's better than him? So I just thought what they paid him was, you know, too much given the limited production he's had and his proclivities with turnovers.
What if we said that you could have incentives in these contracts, but they didn't count against the salary cap? Let's say for running backs.
Yep. I think that's a sensible solution, but I think what the 32 owners would say is, like, what we bargained for was cost certainty. And as long as that's allocated within a system, I think they would listen, but they're not going to do anything to pierce the cost certainty that they have.
Oh, I agree. If I said that you could have Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs, no-brainer?
No-brainer. Again, when you look, they threw him the ball 77 times a year ago. He was a massive part of their offense. What's interesting about Jacobs is when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo's best years of his career, 2016, 2019, 2021, he had a top-5 rushing attack. And I think in Vegas, what we're talking about is not what Josh Jacobs does as a runner, but the production he gets for Jimmy G in the play-action pass game. Yeah. Without Jacobs, defenses aren't going to honor that play-action.
What if an owner asked you to tank? Like, pulled you aside and said, hey, I want that number one pick. How would you go about tanking?
You know, that's just not for me. I mean, it's not how I'm wired. I want to compete. I want to beat you every day. And you hire the wrong guy. There's a time and a place to take certain players off the field on the last game of the season. Like, I get that. And maybe there's a way you can do it in a very artful way. But generally speaking, that's a tough, tough haul to ask people to do that.
If you were the Jets GM again, and Hard Knocks is coming to town, and your team doesn't want Hard Knocks in town, how do you go about trying to modify that where it can work for everybody without it being, you know, infringing on, you know, your preparations?
So, Dan, that happened 2009. We hired Rex Ryan, we draft Mark Sanchez. Hard Knocks comes to us and say, hey, we want to, you know, do you guys? And I said, no. And then I had a conversation with Ozzie Newsome, the longtime, very successful GM of the Ravens. He said, you know, Mike, when we did it, we had a better training camp. You could actually go back to Vince Lombardi. They used to have cameras at the Packers practices in the 60s because what Coach Lombardi says, you actually have better practices. And based on my experience, that's exactly what happened, Dan. We had great practices in Portland, New York. And what I would tell Sala, Coach Sala, is, you know what, like, when you trade for Aaron Rodgers, that's what's going to happen. It's an all-time great quarterback in New York. What do you have to hide?
But I keep thinking, I don't want to focus on Aaron Rodgers, even though people want to see him and hear him. I would focus on Zach Wilson. I would have him as part of the storyline that the Jets, he got humbled, humiliated, demoted, you bring in Rodgers, and now you watch him watching Aaron Rodgers. So that's the lens you're watching Rodgers through. I think that might be an interesting storyline.
I love that. And candidly, that's part of what Hard Knocks is really about, is to take it where ordinarily you can't get to. So that to me is one of the many storylines. Like, the other one to me is, like, how is Aaron Rodgers impacting the team? Like, how is he making Garrett Wilson better? How is he making Breece Hall better? Those are things that you ordinarily couldn't see.
What was the toughest cut you ever had?
Probably Danny Woodhead, which was just a catastrophically dumb idea. So he was a young, productive player, and we just sort of like outsmarted ourselves from a standpoint of, like, he was young, emerging, and I should have found a roster spot someplace else.
But what's it like, and who picked up Danny Woodhead?
Oh, only Bill Belichick within like 5 hours. Like, you know, I went home eating one glass of wine, Dan. I woke up eating about 15. I'm like, Mike, you are – I was so – you know, like, I was a moron, and it got worse. What? You know, Coach Parcells used to have an expression, like, one beer's too many and 20's not enough.
Oh, I can imagine. Like, if anybody else picked him up, then you'd be like, all right, wait, who picked him up? Belichick. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, like, seriously, any of the other 30 teams, like, any of them, all of them.
Did you ever, but how often would you cut a player, you personally as a GM?
100% of the time. In Miami, New York, I want to see every one of them. And okay. I always said the same thing, Dan, which is, as professionals, we have a job to do. And let's face it, in my career, Dan, I've been on both ends of that conversation. Neither end of it is good. It's always uncomfortable. And you have a job to do. You have to go from 90 to 53, and you have to let 37 men go and, you know, tell them that they're not a fit for you. And I always told our staff this: there's something wrong with you as a human being, like, inside your soul, if it didn't bother you somehow. So both those things can be true. You have a job to do, and it should really bother you.
Great to talk to you, as always. We appreciate your insights. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for bringing up Danny Woodhead. I'm going to the bar.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, former Jets and Dolphins executive. I didn't know he was going to say Danny Woodhead.
I love it. So is the you cut a player like Danny Woodhead and you feel good about your decision, even though you're like, well, it stinks, we don't want to get rid of this guy, but we made the right call.
Yeah.
And then the next day that you see that Bill Belichick and the Patriots have picked him up, is that when you're like, oh, crap.
Yes.
I think we did the wrong thing.
Yes. I mean, he probably cut Danny Woodhead and didn't think about, oh, you know, God, that's a tough cut. It's oh, yeah, we cut this guy, and then, you know, this cute little running back from a small school. And, oh, did you hear who picked him up? No. Somebody picked up Danny Woodhead? Yeah, Bill Belichick. Oh, God. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Woodhead was a rookie for the Jets in 2009 with Tannenbaum as the GM. He played in 10 games. He got the ball a little bit here and there, not much. He did very little. He had like 200 yards from scrimmage. He played, you know, part one game. He got cut early in the season, 2010. The Patriots picked him right up, and he was in the lineup. He played 14 games. He started 3 games. He had almost 1,000 yards from scrimmage with the Patriots, and had like 3 decent years there. Went on to the Chargers, etc. But like, he was right on the Patriots roster.
Oh, man, that's tough.
I do think that Bill Belichick picked him up because the Jets cut him, or because of who he was first.
What, that he was going to give secrets about the Jets?
No, no, like Belichick seeing the Jets cut someone who he kind of likes, does that spur Belichick to pick that person?
I think he does that. I think he deliberately picks up.
He's done that before, where you're getting ready to play the Jets, and then somebody gets cut, and then he picks up somebody off waivers.
It was after week one. Woodhead got cut after week one of the season and got immediately picked up by the Patriots, played in the next game.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.